Wine glasses of a Gentile. May one have a drink from a wine glass of a guy? This question can be faced in a variety of scenarios. You're visiting a Gentile friend, or sitting in a hotel lobby, and given a drink within a wine glass, which is a glass cup that is commonly, or at least on occasion, used to serve wine, i.e. yayin nesach. Likewise, what's the law if you inherited, or were given, a set of glass goblets from a Gentile? Do they have to be koshered? Are they kosherable? Can they be used without koshering them? May a kosher restaurant serve non-mevushel wine to a Gentile guest within a glass cup? And if they did so, does it affect now the kosherness of that cup for all future use? Likewise, what if you're sharing a glass of wine with a Gentile friend in your house, and the wine is not mevushel and he drank from your glass cup? Does it affect the kosherness of your glass cup? So the general rule of kashrus is that taste of a food cannot penetrate into a vessel unless it remains there for 24 hours or has the heat of a kli rishon to help it penetrate. Based on these general laws, the answer to all the above questions should be quite simple. So long as hot wine was not poured into the cup and wine did not rest in the cup for 24 hours, there shouldn't be any problem. So long as the cup is clean, it should be permitted to be used for any purpose, as it in essence is considered a kosher cup that never became treif. Furthermore, perhaps we can throw in an added leniency to the fact that it's made of glass, and glass material, according to many opinions, does not absorb taste. Nonetheless, despite the above arguments, in truth this question is not so simple. As you see, the sages gave special detailed laws and regulations to Yayin Nesach, in some cases actually being more lenient than the regular laws, and in some cases being more stringent, as we will see in our case as well. So let us begin our journey of discovery within the Paiskim of the status of wine glasses that have been used for Yayin Nesach. So the good news is we have a clear ruling in the Mechaber in Yeredeya, chapter 135, Halacha 1, based on the Gemara Avodah Zarah 33b and the Rashba in his Tshuvas, Tirus Habayis, that any vessel which is used only for drinking wine and not for storing wine for a while does not need to be koshered using hot water. Doesn't matter what material this vessel is made of. The Chochmas Adam explains that for a while is defined as 72 hours. Hence we see a great leniency in the laws of Yayin Nesach, that we don't consider the vessel to absorb any wine until 72 hours have passed with the wine sitting inside of it. Furthermore, the Mechaber adds in the Shulchan Aruch in the same chapter, 135 Halacha 8, that by glass there's a special law that it doesn't absorb Yayin Nesach even if the wine sits in the glass for a long time, 72 hours and above. And although one may claim, well, perhaps this is a debate between Ashkenazim and Sfardim, as is well known regarding the laws of Passover, Pesach, that Ashkenazim don't kosher glass vessels, as we hold it's not even kosherable, while Sfardim hold that it doesn't even need to be koshered as it doesn't absorb, perhaps this debate would apply here as well. So it's clear from the Paiskim that it does not, and in this case the Rama agrees to the Mechaber that a glass vessel does not absorb Yayin Nesach even if the wine sits in it for a long time. So is understood from the Magen Avraham in 451, Sif Katan Mem Ches, the Shach, Yeredeya 135.23, and the Taz 135.11, who both comment on this ruling of the Mechaber and do not mention any opinion of dissent. Now, while this sounds like a leniency, and it is in a certain regard, being that you don't need a kosher with hot water, at times the shichshuch form of koshering is required. Now, what exactly is this term that most of you have heard of? What kind of koshering is that? I've heard of libun, hagala, libun kal, libun chamer. What's this shichshuch business? So as we will shortly define, this is the case in which Yayin Nesach has a stringency over other prohibitions. First and foremost, as the Mechaber himself emphasizes in 135.1 and 137.4, prior to using the wine glass of a Gentile, one must make sure to rinse it very well so there's no leftover wine inside. This rinsing and washing of the cup, however, is not defined as the koshering method of shichshuch. Shichshuch means that you wash the wine glass three times well with water. It sounds a little illogical, as what further cleansing can the second and third washing do if I already washed it well the first time? But nonetheless, this is what the sage is obligated to be done. In certain cases, as we will define, that although kashering isn't required to the wine glass, nonetheless, shichshuch is required to be done. So as explained in Mechaber 135.1 and 135.11, based on the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Torah and others, that shichshuch is defined as a rinsing of three times. In fact, if one used the prior to doing this three-time rinsing of shichshuch, then according to some opinions, the liquid in the vessel becomes prohibited to be drunk. It actually prohibits what you put inside of it. Practically, however, as the Taz concludes in a number of areas, one may be lenient b'dieved, that even when the shichshuch form of kashering is required to your wine goblet that was previously used with yayin nesach, and you only rinsed it once or twice and not three times, that you are allowed to drink the liquid you put inside of it. And as the Taz emphasizes, even if it stayed there for 24 hours, nonetheless, from this we learn how strict and severe it is, this form of required kashering called shichshuch, and that the three-time washing cannot be compromised. So now that we've defined what shichshuch is, we need to clarify when it's required. We kept on stating that it's required only in some cases, meaning in some cases, according to halacha, you can suffice with a mere one-time rinsing of a wine goblet, and then you can use it for whatever you want, and in some cases we require shichshuch. What are those cases? So Mirtz Hashem, this we will cover in part two of this lesson, in which we will summarize the above law and give over all the practical questions and answers that relate to it.
Thank you for listening to ShulchanAruchHarav.com. Our free services of making Torah knowledge available to the public depends on donors like you. Please help us continue our work through making even a small contribution at ShulchanAruchHarav.com under the Daily Halacha Dedication section or in the subscription page. Also, check out our online courses and many Sefarim available for purchase that will both enhance your Torah knowledge and help support our work.